and state media concepts social media podcast. Time to hashtag everything. We talk about all the fun, crazy stories on social media. From Instagram to Facebook, Twitter to Tumblr, or probably even Friendster. Join us each week as we explore the quirky side of social media. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast.
It's simple, such a sad song. The one that we rely on.
Welcome to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Heidi, and on today's social media news, I'm sort of in the winter mode, because although we are approaching spring, and I, living in California, am almost experiencing spring, although it is still a bit chilly. Other parts of the country are still deep in snow, still dealing with lots of the cold, the wind, you know, sleet, hail, whatever, all the things that are supposed to, I don't know, keep you from functioning and make you stay inside. So with all of that in mind, across the country going on, as many people are still freezing, I am bringing you a few stories to start off our episode that have to do with snow. And honestly, about surviving snow, but also kind of just, they're interesting, I would say. Not just surviving in the snow, but just like taking it all in. What I mean by that is the first story is about snow, but in Los Angeles. And yes, this is not a breaking news story. We have known that it's sort of kind of snowed in Los Angeles, but I want to give a little bit of background about this event. It's interesting, I would say. If you don't know, there were reports that there was some snow in Los Angeles. It kind of just set social media all abuzz. People were posting photos and videos. It was, you know, falling from the sky. People were freaking out, as you can imagine, because it is Southern California. It does not snow there, at least not in Los Angeles. So, interesting. People are calling this hashtag Snowmageddon, which I think is pretty funny. But I would like to say, the interesting part is that it's not necessarily actually snow that people are seeing, you know, that people are reporting. It could just be a different type of precipitation. What I mean is, in most cases, the National Weather Service wasn't actually able to confirm that it was actually snow that was falling from the sky. The precipitation was most likely hail, or what is called, I want to say this is pronounced gopple, also called soft hail or snow pellets, which is precipitation that forms when supercooled water droplets are collected and freeze on falling snowflakes. And they kind of form these like little balls. They're like maybe a little bit, it sounds like they're a little bit bigger than just hail, or at least average hail, but they kind of look like snow a little bit. They're more like a Saturn shape than just a ball of hail and not necessarily just a perfect flake. So it's not just strictly snow that people were reporting. However, it was confirmed that, I want to say it's confirmed that there was snow that did actually fall in the Santa Monica Mountains above Malibu, and reports of snow in nearby communities such as Westlake Village, Thousand Oaks, and Calabasas were potentially actually true. So in some neighboring areas, there was snow in the Los Angeles area. In other areas, it wasn't actually snow. So yes, it was, people were freaking out about it, and it kind of looks like snow, but it's not exactly snow. Also, just so many people put out different images and videos. They showed this possible snow in urban areas such as West Hollywood, Eagle Rock, and Pasadena. The National Weather Service tried to clarify the snow confusion on its Twitter account. They responded to a video that was proclaiming that snow was falling in Thousand Oaks. The Weather Service confirmed and said, yes, that is snow. So that part was snow. But they continued that there was lots of confusion And to clarify, if the precipitation bounces, like when it hits the ground, it contains ice, often like sleet or hail. And if you've ever seen a hailstorm, it does definitely bounce. The pellets that are falling are harder. Unlike snow, when snow falls, they're little flakes and they're lighter and they just kind of land. Whether they stick on the ground or not, you know, or just immediately melt, that is different. So I think that's a good thing to keep in mind if you're wondering if it's snow or something else like hail or sleet or whatnot. But when like the little like white balls that are falling, little precipitation, and then they like fall onto little snowflakes, again, that is the grapple. So that's like a slightly different thing. So I think the grapple kind of falls like snow, but then might bounce a little bit too because it does also kind of contain hail. So I think that's where a lot of people were getting confused. It's like an awkward middle zone. It's not super clear. Also, the National Weather Service, they said that measurable snow hadn't fallen in downtown Los Angeles since 1949. So honestly, I'm like amazed that snow has ever fallen. That it has ever fallen in downtown Los Angeles. Apparently 1949 was really quite the year. But because it wasn't just snow that was falling in downtown Los Angeles, the sightings that people claimed that were in like Los Angeles area strictly, not just like Calabasas or Thousand Oaks nearby, because it wasn't really snow, the original claim of like 1949 being the last time it snowed, that hasn't changed. That's 1949 is still the last time that it ever snowed officially in downtown Los Angeles. Also, during this whole crazy time, people were freaking out about potential snow. A portion of Interstate 5, known as the Grapevine, and that's what connects northern Los Angeles County to the Central Valley, it was closed for a few hours on that day. There was about an inch of snow that accumulated on the roadway, so that area did get snow. That's not downtown Los Angeles, that's more north. So, and that also, when you're driving over, it goes a lot higher because you have to get over some mountains to go from Los Angeles into the valley in California. So that part did actually get snow. And where I work, we often arrange travel for a lot of people who are traveling throughout the state. And people were freaking out because the Grapevine was closed. People had no idea what to do because we are Californians and much of where we live does not get snow. And so, like, people already freak out when it rains and you're supposed to drive on the roads. People were having a fit that it kind of snowed. And it wasn't even shut down that long. Like, I believe it was only shut down, yeah, like, only for a few hours. And people were still like, oh, my God, we're snowed in. Like, people were calling us and saying they were snowed in and they were trapped. Which, yeah, we're, California, we're not prepared for snow. We have no idea how to deal with it. I definitely don't know how to deal with it. Most of the people really don't. There is snow in California, but not everywhere. So, in case you're wondering, a cold front from Canada pushed down the temperatures, and then moisture that fell in like Las Vegas and whatnot, that was all attracted due to this cold front from Canada, and that came into Southern California. Also, the Clark County School District in Las Vegas said in a statement that school and after-school activities were canceled due to reports of potential freezing conditions on the road that would be unsafe for school buses during the morning commute. Yes, that is Las Vegas. They, like, shut down because of freezing conditions on the road, like the school did. That's crazy. Las Vegas is a desert. And it does snow in deserts, yes, but, like, not normally like that in Vegas. So that's pretty impressive. In San Diego, Riverside, and San Bernardino, they were subjects of a winter storm warning. And that happened the night that people were claiming snow in Los Angeles. But the cold front was expected to blow through that morning. So although the night was super cold, in the morning it was supposed to be kind of clearer. So that's good for them because I really cannot imagine gorgeous San Diego dealing with like a giant winter storm. Like, I don't know how that would work. San Diego is very coastal, lots of boats, yachts, palm trees, very, you know, it's warm. It's kind of not really humid, but I want a little bit more muggy than other parts of the state. So I have a hard time imagining they would at all know how to deal with freezing cold temperatures. Not at all. Another point to mention, federal forecasters, they did call for sunny skies on the weekend after the potential snow. So the potential snow in Los Angeles occurred on a Thursday, and then forecasters were saying that on the weekend it was going to be sunny and actually above normal temperatures, like the week after that. So it did not last long. Like, people in other parts of the country are probably super complaining because people freaked out in California that there was like potentially a little bit of snow slash hail. Meanwhile, the rest of the country is just, you know, under many feet of snow. So, yeah, man, California, we got to try and tough it out. This is not working out well for us. The other states are going to start making fun of us. But that is interesting that it almost kind of sort of snowed. And yeah. Social media freaked out. I also love hashtag Snowmageddon for like some potential hail in Los Angeles. That's, we did not keep our cool. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll come right back and I will tell you all about some more snow related news.
Always on the go, but the day just won't be one without your Hollywood fix. Let Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast take care of that. An all-inclusive look of pop culture.
Welcome back to the Social Media News Podcast. I am going to share the next snow-related story that I was teasing about earlier in the show. This is not necessarily about people freaking out about potential sort of kind of snow, mostly hail. This is about an actual bad snow situation where someone got trapped in their car. But, spoiler alert, they are okay. They did survive. And they survived kind of for a funny reason. So this story took place in Oregon, and it was about a man who was trapped in his car in the snow for 5 days. He survived, but because of how he survived, he kind of gave a message potentially suggesting, you know, maybe you shouldn't worry too much about cleaning out your car. So this man is Jeremy Taylor. And he told authorities that him and his dog survived in the snow for 5 days, again, in their car, by eating packets of taco sauce as they were trapped in the snow, again, in his vehicle. They survived off of taco sauce, like from Taco Bell. Like when you go to Taco Bell and you get the little, like, sauce packets, or if you go to even McDonald's and they give you little ketchup packets for your fries, it's like that. They were just lying around in his car. That's how him and his dog survived. Oh my gosh. That's crazy. This is why I should keep little like sugar packets and ketchup like in my console in my car. This just justifies my behavior probably too much. But Jeremy is 36 and he went off-roading in the area. And then he drove up west of the resort community of Sun River with his dog. His dog's name is Allie. And their SUV became stuck in the snow after he had driven up into this area. This is just like a cautionary tale that, again, I'm just like, I can't survive bad weather. Like, my car is actually pretty clean. So because of that, I probably wouldn't have been able to make it. So good for Jeremy, I guess, in this situation for not cleaning his car. Okay, him and his dog, they were trapped, and he had to spend the night in his vehicle. He also attempted to walk for help the next day, I believe, but he couldn't get out because of the amount of snow that had fallen. So he was still trapped in his car. And I believe it was like an SUV type looking thing, like, what's the word? Like a, oh, now I can't remember it. I'm not even going to try and say car names. That'll just backfire on me. But it was kind of like an SUV. So him and his dog could fit, obviously. So I guess to stay warm, Jeremy, over the next 4 days, would periodically start his vehicle. And then he would eat the taco sauce packets. So then he would just start the car for a little bit, get kind of warm, eat, you know, a taco sauce packet from like underneath his car, like chair seat or whatever, you know, stuck behind, stuck between the cushions in the back seat. And then he would just turn it off again and just kind of sit in the somewhat kind of warmed car. Also, the sheriff's department said, they said this on Facebook, and they really couldn't believe that that had happened. I also think they expressed that they didn't think that Jeremy actually had a phone on him, and that would contribute to why he was stuck there, you know, because you're thinking, why wouldn't you just call for help? To answer that question, it sounds like he didn't have a phone on him, which honestly, Jeremy, that was your first mistake. I mean, probably your first mistake was driving up to an area where you couldn't get out of again, but maybe you didn't know that. I mean, obviously you didn't know that. So really your biggest mistake is that you didn't have a cell phone with you. What were you thinking? Don't go off-roading in the snow without a cell phone. That's just a silly thing to do. Also, it wasn't until a Friday afternoon that a snowmobile rider spotted Jeremy's car and then called 911. So obviously there was cell service, Jeremy. And apparently, Jeremy and his dog were described as hungry, but otherwise in good condition when they were found, which is crazy. So good for them. I'm really glad that nothing happened to them. But please, please be careful. I don't know. Let me just put out a PSA. If you're going to go off-roading, particularly in the snow, please make sure that you have everything with you to keep you warm. Like, maybe pack an extra sleeping bag, you know, like one for you, one for your dog. Bring good gear. Bring a cell phone. There can be like little, I can't think of the name for them, not walkie-talkies, but devices that can like connect even when you're outside of cell range, you know, that'll send your GPS to search and rescue or something. I don't know. Bring a carrier pigeon. I'm not sure what you want to do. But please be careful. Please. Just have, you know, the preparations just in case you potentially could get stuck. And even if you don't get stuck, that's a good thing. That means you won. But just in case you do, just in case something happens, always be prepared. Okay, also, in a Facebook post, Jeremy described himself as lucky. He added, let's never do that again. Yeah, probably don't. I bet your dog would be, well, your dog probably was like, oh no, owner, you're still the best. But potentially the dog was getting a little annoyed, you know, maybe a couple more days and wouldn't have been too cool about it. But at least they had each other in the car to keep them warm. And again, authorities are recommending that anyone who wants to drive in the cold weather just carry a winter, you know, survival kit with you. You want to have that kit include non-perishable food, water, blankets, a basic toolkit. Probably a first aid kit. You know, if you're going with your dog, maybe just in case some extra kibble or something. I don't know. I don't own a dog, so potentially the dog would just be able to smell the kibble and just, I don't know, like you couldn't keep that as an extra thing because they would just sniff it out. I'm not sure. But you should just be careful. Always have something to keep you warm. Always have something to keep you prepared. Just in case, because again, you really never know. Okay, also, if a driver does get trapped in the snow, it is really advised that the car's motor can run, but just for 10 minutes every hour, and that provides warmth while also preserving fuel. Also, if you're in the snow and the vehicle gets covered or just surrounded by snow, please, please, before you turn on your engine, first ensure that the exhaust pipe is not blocked before you turn on the car. Because if your exhaust pipe, like the part where it comes out, like outside of your car, if that's blocked, and then you turn on your engine, the carbon monoxide could enter into the car because it won't be able to exit out of the exhaust pipe. And, I mean, obviously that would not be a good thing. That'd be quite poisonous to you. So please check, even though you probably don't want to get out of your car and go into the snow. Please do try. Not to mention, if I was in that situation where I realized I was trapped in a car in the snow, I would be freaking out. So good job, Jeremy. I like to imagine you kept your cool a little bit. I mean, probably partway through you just stopped running out of energy because you didn't have enough food to really keep freaking out. So maybe that was part of it. But hopefully it wasn't that bad, honestly. Also, again, because it was 5 days, so Jeremy was discovered on a Friday by someone on a snowmobile. So that means he got stuck on a Sunday, which is just like, to me, I'm like, so you were just kind of taking a weekend little outing, you know, just going out with your dog into the snow. That sucks. Like, you just thought you were going to go, like, just briefly out, you know, a little drive around in the wilderness, get some fresh air, maybe, I don't know, throw a snowball or two to your dog, play fetch. Not really sure what you do with dogs, but something like that. And then he just got trapped. I don't plan well when I'm on weekend trips. I'm not, like, bringing everything with me just in case, just for, like, a day trip. I'm sorry that you had to go through that, Jeremy. I really hope that just not happened to you again. Also, I want to mention Taco Bell saves lives. You know, you might think that the little extra condiment packets that you get from, like, the fast food are not worth it. Apparently they are, because they might just save your life when they get stuck, you know, like, in your cup holder or something, or like this little random extra sugar packets that you shove into your glove box. You never know, people. You never know. That could end up saving not only your life, but also the life of a beloved pet who may end up getting trapped with you because most likely of your lack of planning and bad decision. But hopefully, if something like that happens, you are all prepared and you all have your extra first aid kits and whatnot, just in case worst case scenario does occur. But again, I'm glad for Jeremy. I'm really glad that he's safe. Please be careful to all of you out there that have to deal with the snow. And that is the last snow story of our social media news. I want to move on. I'm glad that I shared the hopeful story of Jeremy. I want to share another story that is not hopeless, but is definitely a bit more on the sad side. So we're going to take a quick break before I go into that story. Please hang on. I'll be right back and we'll keep talking about social media news.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the podcast. We are moving on from our snow-related stories onto another story. This one is a bit dreary, I am sorry to say. This is about Jeopardy, specifically the host of Jeopardy, Alex Trebek. So Alex Trebek has been diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Perhaps I should just take a moment so that we can all let that sink in, because it is, unfortunately, sad news. Alex Trebek is 78, which I did not know, but he broke the news in a video message which he shared on Wednesday, which was March 6th, I believe, and this is what he said. He said, "I have some news to share with all of you, and it's in keeping with my longtime policy of being open and transparent with my Jeopardy fan base. I also wanted to prevent you from reading or hearing some overblown or inaccurate reports regarding my health. So, therefore, I wanted to be the one to pass along this information. Now, just like 50,000 other people in the United States each year, this week I was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer." That's what he said in the video message. Stage 4 cancer, that means that the disease has spread to other parts of the body. And sadly, It can be treated, but it typically cannot be cured at this stage. Trebek did acknowledge that the survival rate of pancreatic cancer is low, but he did say that he was going to keep fighting and keep working. And he just believes that with the love and support of family and friends and also prayers of others, that he'd be able to beat the low survival rate and hopefully make it through this diagnosis. Also, apparently, even on his video message, Trebek even made like a little slight joke. He did note that he has 3 years left in his current Jeopardy contract. Oh, hopefully he makes it to the 3 years. But it seems that he is trying to stay in good spirits. He said he did kind of make a joke here and there in his video message. But people are hopeful that he will be able to tackle the disease head on and, fight some of the low survival rates. And, many are wishing him well, obviously. Also, Alex Trebek has been the host of Jeopardy since its current iteration debuted in 1984, which is kind of crazy. He has won 5 daytime Emmys for Outstanding Game Show Host, and he received a Lifetime Achievement Award in 2011. I really hope the best for him, and this kind of makes me sad to share. But Alex Trebek, if you are listening or if you are a fan of Alex Trebek, I am sending good thoughts and prayers your way, and I hope that you can recover and keep fighting, and just wishing, you know, him and his family the best. I want to end on a slightly more hopeful note. This is about another celebrity, pretty different from Alex Trebek, but it is a little bit hopeful, I like to think. It's encouraging, at least. So this is about Kylie Jenner. And congratulations to her. She is a billionaire, which is kind of crazy to think because she is not old. She is 21, which is crazy. But like many women her age, what does make Kylie Jenner maybe not so different from the rest of us is that she is pretty active on social media. She has, though, done one thing that no one else has really done, which obviously is build a billion-dollar fortune, again, by the age of 21. She is the youngest person to become a billionaire with her company, and that is her own company, so it's not like she's inheriting the money. Her company is Kylie Cosmetics. Obviously, the fame and notoriety of her family does not hurt her potential to, you know, make a lot of money and be successful. But again, this is her company, so they're not trying to say her family just, you know, giving her the money without making her do any work. Also, in case you are wondering, there are other young billionaires out there. For example, Instagram co-founder Kevin Systrom, Snapchat co-founder Evan Spiegel, Facebook co-founder Mark Zuckerberg, also Twitter co-founder Jack Dorsey. They are all billionaires and they are younger than 45, so they're not the youngest, but they are young, you know, under 45. Also, this is crazy. Each of Kylie Jenner's Instagram posts, they are worth about $1 million just for like one post. That's insane. That is according to Hopper HQ, which is a social media scheduler. And really, so many of Kylie Jenner's posts, they include like family photos, you know, the classic mirror selfie, but also like product announcements, you know, for, you know, promotions like blush, lip gloss, eyeshadow, all things within her Kylie Cosmetics brand. So good for her. She is using all of the followers she has on Instagram. She has 128 million followers. I don't want to say using, like taking advantage of them, but she is definitely using her platform to promote her product, and not just her product, also, you know, just share other parts of her life. But yeah, 128 million followers, and she also has a lot of other followers on like Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, etc. I would like to say, though, she is not the only person to use social media in the cosmetics field, although she is clearly doing very well. Others out there are Rihanna, and she has 68.3 million Instagram followers. And she has partnered recently her Fenty Beauty line with the luxury goods powerhouse LVMH and Huda Katan, who is someone who left a finance job to become a makeup artist. She founded Huda Beauty with her sisters, And she's very popular. So good for Rihanna for pairing her beauty line with other very popular people in the cosmetics industry. The company, I believe that is Huda Beauty, they now have $20 million in annual revenue. That's crazy. So really, I feel like the cosmetics industry is doing well, apparently. It's making people very rich. Also to mention, kind of what I was reading, some people seem to feel that the secret to all of this, to this like success, particularly with Kylie, is really that successful celebrity brands, there's this like deep passion, authenticity by the celebrity, like Kylie, for the creation of the products themselves. So like Kylie has a lot invested in the individual products and she really does care about them. It's not just like a random celebrity talking about like a perfume line, you know. She actually does care about how they're made and whatnot. Also, Kylie is very active in the development of her products. And you can really see that in like what she shows her fans. She shows them the process, the day-to-day, through Instagram, talking a lot, and she posts consistently about her life and her product. And really, there's just this level of visibility and commitment on social media that I guess her fans really respond to, and it makes people who follow her want to support her. You know, authenticity and honesty really do go a long way, and social media, you know, is just a great way to be in connection with the fans very directly, not going through like a magazine ad or whatnot. So good for Kylie. She is a billionaire, talking about that young money, and clearly she's doing well, obviously. So happy for her. I think that's pretty hopeful and kind of encouraging that other people, other young people out there can make it work. And with hard work and persistence and apparently care in what you're doing, you can be very successful. So good job, Kylie, and I wish you all the best for those who might have like an entrepreneurial spirit, might want to go out there and try something new. So that brings us to the end of the show. Thank you all so much for listening, and please tune in to the next GSMC Social Media News Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.